Your body can be seated, but your hands... hands are... They can't be seated yet. Just about halfway up or something. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I worship you. Glorify and magnify and exalt you. Lift you up. And thank you with all my heart. All my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we had a good early morning service. My goodness. On speaking the word and confession. And I kept going back to the last trip in Brazil when Tim was teaching. I wanted to break down and cry. Usually I do that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful woman. I'd call her a girl because she's 20. Beautiful kid. Beautiful woman was standing there. And was taking some testimonies. And when her father got up, or her husband's father, it was to testify. Of course, we got it through the interpreter then. But 20 years ago, something that we'd prayed for the girl, you know, I was talking about it last week, 2 weeks ago. And she was born with a little heart that may not live over an hour. And then feet turned around backwards. So he brought her to a meeting or something, first day or so of her life. Prayed for her and her heart was healed instantly. You know, she... came up, everything came up. But the feet stayed. But it just happened to that I had collected everything that I knew about faith together and was teaching a message on faith. And in that message, was teaching the power of confession. Speaking His Word. And along the way, something will happen inside of you. I tried to put my finger on it for years, how you go from not believing to believing. That takes place. Now, faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for, and it's... it's all the evidence I need. Thing I can't see. I wondered what was changing. You know, I had to, if I'm going to teach on this, I had to get in and study it on detail. I got to understand it myself, even though it would work. I wanted to understand it. So I started the usual, you know, praying in tongues and worshiping and waiting on Him. And somebody says, well, I tried that praying in tongues. No. You're not going to pray in tongues for any length of time and not have something happen. You're just not going to do it. So I was wondering, and he started bringing things to me to show me, you know, how it worked and what was happening. To me, accents are funny. I love the Texan drawl, how y'all doing? Well, I know that your brain, we send you off to a foreign country as a oil magnate from Texas, and you're going to talk funny when you get there. Maybe to England. You come back, you're our old oil buddy that drinks coffee in a mug. And he comes back. He's sitting there looking funny. Pretty soon, so you want some coffee, partner? He says, I say there, old chap, bring me some tea. So what? They're all in shock, staring at him. They bring the tea out and that little finger goes up. I mean fingers with calluses on it. Blink. You know, they're looking at each other like, what happened? You said you wasn't going to talk like a Brit. Tell you, hold the fox. What's your problem? You. You're my problem. Somehow that the mind absorbed that and then reproduced it in. I'll tell you the same thing. You can't keep running around worshiping God and calling yourself healed and stay the same. You're going to end up believing it somewhere. This woman, this beautiful woman standing there, and her father comes up and through the interpreter, tells a little bit about it, so we had to testify to the crowd. So she was that girl. Now she's 20 years old. And he's the one that come to me and said, you know, he said before, but I didn't know who it was. At this time he had her with him. This is 20 years later. He says, you know what, Brother Roberson? I said, what? As an excellent teacher, you know, of what? Yeah, I know. He says, did you know it took me a whole year to talk her feet around to the front? I went, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's good. A whole year. And I don't know the detail whether she got up one next day and they were that way or he talked them slow. We could find out now. But she's 20 years old and beautiful. And she's getting ready to go off to a school where she's going to become a doctor. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what I say. Hallelujah. So I know that I can't handle truth. I know that I can't handle truth and not have results. It's impossible. Now, the things that he showed me, glimpses years ago, and as things got closer and time had passed by, and to keep me probably from wondering too much, he gave me a prophecy of endurance. And that was over 20 years ago, and it's on the wall. But when I was in Oregon, up in the mountains at a mill, it was when I was up there that I had the vision that I hadn't seen here, which was a round building and then roads going by. And yet, when I flew over in my own plane and landed at Jinx Airport, and not counting coming in the big jets, but with my own, I could look around because I hangared it just right there at Jinx Airport. I live close to that. Go down. I suffered a lot. Call my pilot and go get in the plane. Oh my, deliver me there. Take me home after the service, no matter where it was. So I got a real good look at the city, so I can tell you it was the one I saw. Had a lot of good experience with those planes. I had three of them. Do you remember the prophet's move about 10 years ago, 20? You remember that move, 15? People are always coming up and say, give me a word. God, don't do anything unless you get a word. And they're always trying to prophesy to each other. I got to get a word from you. So it was in that era that I had the planes, and the guy comes up to me and he says, don't fly home tonight. You're going to lose an engine. I said, I am. He said, yeah, don't get in the plane. You're going to lose your engine. He said, are you going to go? And I said, yeah. He said, what? After what I told you? I said, yeah. If I'm going to die, I'm sure I'll be the first to know it. I got on the plane and went home. Poor guy's prophecy didn't come to pass. What was I supposed to do? Run around and preach he saved my life? And just coming out of that era, just coming out of it, I finally went and preached for this guy that he'd been after. I don't know. And he was getting connected to a new move that was taking place. A new move. Where everybody is an apostle. Whew, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing without being told or clearing it through an apostle. Don't do it. And boy, I got right in the middle. And these apostles, four of them, they owned this church. They owned this guy, not the property or the money. They owned the pastor. And he's the one that wanted me to come. And they said, no, you won't have him. So I said, well, I'll come anyway. Don't let it bother you. So I came. And I never will forget it. One of them, he dressed in such a bright yellow suit. I've never seen a yellow tie, bright yellow shirt, bright yellow suit coat and pants, bright yellow socks and bright yellow shoes. Anyway, man, they were prophesying death and doom and everything. He said, now, are you going to have this man? He said, yeah. He says, it's okay. And he says, you're going to go against us, the mighty apostles. Well, didn't they think in the second part? I said, I'm going to preach. That's all I'm going to do. Now, if you're a real apostle, I'll give you your place. You know, I'll respect it. But these guys wanted to meet with me and eat before the service. And so the pastor and all of us are sitting there. They're across the table. I'm over here. We give him. Pretty soon, he says, who are you? Some lowly pastor. I think at that time, Tulsa, I'm a lowly pastor. Tulsa, no. No. Who are you? I'm just a pastor. No, we don't mean that. Who are you? They went and told the pastor, do not have this guy preach. And he said, no, I'm gonna do it. And so they were sitting around all swollen up, puffed up like toads. Did it bother you? No. People will say, well, somebody came and it disturbed the presence of the service. When that baby's crying, it'll offend them over the spirit. Boy, if a little baby crying can stop God, you might as well go home anyway. Wouldn't you know God just came? People laid all over me and healed and then testimonies. When it was done, I wanted to do the friendly preacher thing. I wanted to give him a hug, but I couldn't catch him. Hallelujah, Jesus. So when I'm talking about a history, it goes way back. And I saw, as with the aerial view, is when I saw the roads full and cars. I especially noticed them because they were waiting to turn off. And I saw the round building over there, and I'd never been there or nothing. And I saw all of that, and I saw fields over on this side, like behind here and around. I saw all of that, and people, some were standing out around. And that's when he told me a long time ago, he says, I want a revival. He says, I want it. That Tulsa, which is seemed to be a meeting or a breeding place for lots of different doctrines that came out on a scale of ORU, Kenneth Hagin, and ministries that's affected the world. And I knew this was that kind of center. And I said, and you can guess all the religion and the churches that are round about. But when I saw it further than just seeing it. When at a different time, the revival that burst out, I got to catch a glimpse of that. It looked like a dark cloud was over all this area. And I said, oh, that's the principalities and powers of the air, isn't it? And the Lord says, no, that's your flesh. Oh, wait a minute. That's not fair. That's your flesh. Then I seen people fighting through it. And some of them, they just got their head through it and then fell back. But boy, could they teach. And some would get their hands through it and they had healing in their hands. It would glow like that. They'd come back and it'd glow. And then some would get halfway through. And some of these sparks from coming back was shooting in different places and things was happening. But then somebody made it through and they came back walking in the fullness and sparks began to shoot all over from the revival to dark places and would just spring up and spring up and spring up. And I don't know, I think back then he wanted it here because it was a major headquarters for much that the world's being taught right now. So to think that the harvest that would take place, following people that was like a spark and they shot to the darkest place you could see on the planet, and pretty soon you saw a little fire ignite, and pretty soon it was roaring in signs and wonders, revivals. Seems like everything was being taken care of, from sending in the teachers to everything, until something began to happen that was bringing him back. I was studying Noah and the flood and statements all like all flesh went his way. And when Moses woke from his sleep, that He knew immediately what his younger son had done unto him. If I remember it correctly, tracking the younger son down, which some said was a grandson, others said. And he knew when he woke up what he had done to him. And he said, all flesh had went his way. What way was he talking about? Well, when Noah woke up and knew that all flesh, what his younger son done to him, I went ahead and tracked as much as I could the younger son's lineage. I'd have to check it to be absolute again. I was then. But they turned out to be the descendants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God even offered them a rescue if they could just find two people. One. See, we're talking about a real powerful spirit. And you can know we're getting pretty close when a nation like ours that's always stood is going to begin to legalize. The time for our revival is very close. Thank you, Sado. See, you cannot pray my mysteries out without them affecting what is happening on both an international and a local level. For the more that you pray, don't you know it's your authority, but it's my mind, and you're releasing me to move in the kind of praying that makes the difference. The edification is about you, that I can build you up above anything. Anything. That you can move when I move and talk when I talk. In these last days, there'll be much confusion here and there. And there will be a people looking for an answer. And you have the answer that they're looking for. So be strong and continue on the path that you're on. For you're scheduled to see some mighty things that you'll be delighted over, saith the Lord. Whew. Can I believe that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Whenever he alerts me and he starts moving on me to do something that I don't normally do. I mean, not habitually. And that was to strengthen myself on the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified and his word and what he has said. So he brings that and alerts me to strengthen myself. Then usually something that'll follow something like that is real times of testing. Well, I've been through them, I don't know. The real severe ones maybe 4 or 5 times in ministry. And the one that keeps bringing the victory is the defense that I put up, soaked in the Word of God, absolutely soaked in it, not regarding what's happening to me, what the circumstances say, not taking regard how bad it looks, But the ability to lift my hands and worship Him for what He said about it, instead of the circumstances in hell and dark. Just the strength to lift my hands and worship Him through what was supposed to be the worst time I could ever dream possible, and He can't get me to put my hands down. Did you have scripture marked? Don't any good preacher? This is why I love Paul. He didn't have the benefit 3.5 natural years with Jesus. But he sure had the benefit of being taught by the Holy Spirit in different appearances what Jesus is giving now. That I loved his teachings because he came in as knowing the law. And knowing the Jews' attitude towards Jesus coming. And the Messiah then having an appearance on him. And learning that it is him. Truly him. So I love the teachings that come out of Paul. See, when he said, every time I complained, God would repeat himself and say, my grace is sufficient. Well, yeah, you know, I couldn't pay for my bubble gum yesterday. I'm in a trial. You know, I can't. Oh, God. He said he could take pleasure in God. I mean, 3 times he tried to get some, God, can I get some help? He says, basically, what he's saying is, what I already did for you is enough. My grace is sufficient. And so again, you know, maybe it was the second beating. He said, can you do me my grace? And you're not getting better at saying that every year. My grace is sufficient. 3 times. Paul's conclusion, as we taught here and there, that we'll keep doing as long as you need it. His conclusion is, I take pleasure in necessities, perplexities. I don't care. When I've been stripped of anything I could possibly do in the natural, he said, I don't care. Because in my weakest point, I can be my strongest. After a 39 lashes that left him half dead, stoned him, left him dead, this guy had capacity to hold nothing against God. And get up and lift his hands and praise him, worship him and glorify him. He so loved his fellow man, his fellow Jew, that he willingly would get involved enough trying to get them, bringing truth to them, knowing what it would cost him. Stoning to death, beat. But he took them. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Per qualificio. In gainem esciti. Nahula hi ko balaskisi. Thank you, I would have forgot that. Can you imagine that? Me forgetting something? He said, okay, bring it back. Yes, sir. When the true ability, I mean, really developed inside. I mean, everything really was falling apart. Hell was on the doorstep. Trying to bring the family down, bring me down with anything he could possibly use. I cast no shadow. When me and Bill went to Frank's, Texas, to preach at drug rehabilitation place, and me and Bill, and he was going to go on to Florida, I believe, and I was going to turn around that point and come back. We got there. I got my little room, and Bill got his. And the next day, they come running to get me. And Bill had trouble sleeping, but he had some sleeping pills of some kind that you can wake up and don't remember taking them and take them again. They come running over the room to get me. I went over and prayed. I had to call Rosalie. She would have held it against me more to not let her know from the point, the moment I did, that going home and then telling her. That's one time I thought I was going to die. And we found Steve a few years later. Had come to God, had the same sleeping problem. Went upstairs, and one of them come running back down and says, "Steve's." Of course, it affected me. Of course I cried. I don't know how long. Did it bring my arms down? No. Could you worship Him and love on Him as strong as you did a month before that? Yes. Did you blame Him? No. No, I didn't. Do you know where they're at? Yes, I do. And they'd be disappointed if I took a step back. Oh, goodness, A.G. Diosko. Dano mokolecho. Yenono klasi abierto. Evera no makraki sotun be estinguetle. Fia sodi emeto kedesea. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. There's many different seasons. But don't step back in your relationship with me, saith the Lord. For the way that you can stay on course is in the worst of it, to lift your hands and worship me, because I am your answer. So be not deceived and stay close to me, no matter what the enemy tries to do. And you'll see, not only will you make a recovery, but you'll move forward, maybe slowly, some faster, and some faster. But you will move forward into a place where you can make a difference. And when I saw that difference, that was not just one person. You're affecting everybody you know. So how do you stand today? Free? Are you mad at... No? You think Bill and Steve aren't having the time of their life there? He piedra pote escrevo vete anche no me che le si cielo che ne ne satle fu pe alla cristalla ti quinne se hu This is up to you. How many ever remembers me saying something and they wasn't here? This one is hard. God usually don't get to go there unless everything's taken off the restraint. And sometimes people don't like other people to know. But whether it's here or not, that's not a question to me. We've had this happen before, but it's just not the normal thing in church. You don't care. The thing with entertaining, putting an end to your life, if you'll take that much of it, I mean, to entertain it, that's all the roots it needs to grow. What would we call it? A suicide? Mostly these things aren't addressed in church. They'll try to edify you out of a life like that. But sometimes things get pretty close and the devil has to be dealt with. Gimosi. Dali omakwasi shuketi. Desumala urakweti. Kenasi huetre kiatua. Zonisi. In the spirit, I can say this, that the devil is planning some kind of a maximum, some kind of maximum assault against you. And we can stop it. I do remember this happening before. We can stop it. If this is you, and you want to, we won't make you. How could we? When the devil attacks, whatever he did to me, I'm not ashamed of nothing. So you're here, and you want to come up here. Come up here, we'll get him off of you. Come. Before I kept on exhorting what he'd give me and until somebody came. Then the rest of you believed it. I don't have to do that this time. But you wouldn't, I wouldn't be ashamed of you. You'd be my hero. That's right. That's right. This is you, come. I say, Lord, you can't you just use me in the dynamics of overflow? What do you want me to do, you know? This is good. It really is. I mean, really is. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the influence of this thing. And you go and Jesus' name. God, I give you the praise and the glory for it. Speak. Okay. Peace. Peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Peace.